episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. My name is Rob Quinn. I'm the managing editor of BillsWire.com. I'm here with Kyle Salagi and Justin DeLauro. And as always, we have a very interesting show for you guys tonight. Just like last time, we had our show planned out, a little generic show. And in our planning, the Bills did what they love to do and drop some big news on us when we least expect it. But before we get into that, make sure that you bookmark us online at BillsWire.com. Connect with us on Twitter at TheBillsWire, on Facebook at TheBillsWire, on Instagram at TheBillsWire. In case you didn't hear that, it's at TheBillsWire. By connecting us with us there, you will never miss any of the content that we put out on a daily basis. Stay up to date with all the latest Bills news, analysis, speculation, our opinions. You may agree with us, you might not, but we love the interaction, and that's why we're having this show tonight. It's about you. We're taking questions from you, and that's it. Also, make sure to subscribe to the Bills Wire podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to leave that 5-star review. That is always the Bills Wire podcast. So, pretty easy to remember those, I think. Right, guys?
I'd agree, yes.
Yeah, so Kyle, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. My favorite quarterback of all time, Tyrod Taylor. We're going to pay him, and that means he's around for the next 5 years. So I'm ecstatic, actually.
Just hold your horses. Hold your horses before they turn out. Justin, how are you doing tonight? I know you had some chaos with the little one before you came on, and then it sounded like you were flushing down the toilet. We were really worried, but I'm glad you're here and safe.
We're all good tonight. The children are resting. They are watching a solid episode of Moana or something right now so that we can get through this podcast unscathed, hopefully. And Kyle is definitely lying about his Tyrod Taylor, because if you check his Twitter, you're going to see some EJ love.
Oh.
On EJ, as most people were. But that didn't pan out. But Tyrod did pan out, as we'll get into.
Yeah, so... the news that broke, Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet, the coolest NFL insider there is, in my opinion, really,
came out today.
I mean, when you get Uncle Chaps and cry on ESPN, you fall down a notch, and that's nothing to Schefter. He is one of the best, but Rap Sheet is the man. And he came out and reported that the Bills will be paying his $6 million roster bonus and opting to keep him. Now, what does that mean? That means that the Bills were due to pay him a $6 million roster bonus on the third day of the new league year. Now, the new league year is March 14th when free agency commences. And 3 days after that, the Bills had to give him $6 million or release him. This is the time with the combine coming up where a lot of the draft trades, free agency contracts, you don't want to say tampering because that's illegal, but it really is tampering, really begins. So they would have had a really 32-hour window to get a trade done for Tyrod with that $6 million bonus involved. So now the Bills basically said, you know what, we're going to pay that $6 million roster bonus. On top of that, he is due a $10 million base salary with just $1 million of that in guaranteed money. And the Bills would be on the hook for just over $2 million in a prorated signing bonus, meaning that really they have a lot more leverage to move him now, and they're essentially paying $6 million for a draft pick to move Taylor, and also not going into the combines with Nathan Peterman in a situation that would have been eerily similar to 2013, going back to the EJ Manuel talk, when they cut Ryan Fitzpatrick prematurely and they didn't have a quarterback on the roster really that was respectable. Buddy Nix was getting recorded, prank called with the Tampa Bay Bucks general manager. I don't know if you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. Basically saying they had to get rid of him. They released him that day, and they were backed into a wall, and you couldn't. How do you argue with a team saying that you're looking at another position when you have Jeff Toole as your now Nathan Peterman? You don't have any leverage there. Now with Tyrod Taylor, whether you think what, regardless of what your thoughts on are him as a quarterback, he is a starting caliber quarterback in this league. He is probably replacement level, but nonetheless, he has value. He has experience, and I think people underestimate what coaches and NFL teams really believe in that. So, Kyle, what were your initial thoughts when you saw this? What do you think will happen going forward?
Yeah, as you said, I wasn't really surprised by the move at all, because this does give them more leverage moving forward. I never thought that they were just going to flat out cut him. I thought that would have been a dumb decision just because there is value in him. As you said, he's a reliable quarterback, and you should be able to get something for a starting caliber quarterback. But I saw a lot of people today on Twitter. They were a bit upset because they thought that paying his roster bonus just meant, okay, we're sticking with him, and he's going to be the starter next season, and we're not trading up for a quarterback. And I don't think that's the case at all. If anything, I just think picking up his roster bonus gives Bean a bit more time to figure out what he really wants to do. If he does want to trade him, which I think that he will trade him. And then, as you said, it gives him... we don't go into draft season with just Nathan Peterman on the roster, just showing our cards like, this is what we're doing. We're drafting a quarterback because all we have is Nathan Peterman. So at this point, you really... I mean, you could be fooling a few teams, just like, oh, they paid his roster bonus. Maybe they are committed to him. But I think that trading him is definitely on the top of Bean's priority list now.
What do you think, Justin?
I mean, it's definitely a very measured approach to the situation. I mean, we know this regime is very meticulous as they're going through their plans. And there's no way, like Kyle said, that this team is just going to cut Tyrod and then know that, okay, if the Bills have to trade up, and if I'm the Giants or if I'm the Colts, I'm asking for more than just maybe what originally would be offered simply because Tyrod's gone. You're either going to really put something forward so that you get one of those top three picks, because there's no way that you're going to leave Nathan Peterman out there as your number one quarterback entering the 2018 season.
See, I don't think this has anything to do with the fact that the Bills still have their same plan in place. They want to come away with this draft for the franchise quarterback, but they don't want to be backed into a corner where they're forced into making a rash decision because they made a dumb one prematurely, and that would be getting rid of Tyrod Taylor without an insurance plan. Because we've seen in the NFL, things can go wrong and people can change their minds. Josh McDaniels decided that he didn't want to coach the Colts. And things happen like that. And I think that there will be teams that, as it gets closer and closer and closer through free agency, and once the Case Keenum and Nick Foles and the Teddy Bridgewater and Kirk Cousins domino start to fall, these teams are going to get nervous. And they're going to say, okay, what can we do? If we're not in the top 10 and we need a quarterback, maybe we get a Tyrod Taylor for a year on that extremely team-friendly contract for a year and figure things out. Maybe we even double dip. Maybe we get Tyrod as that bridge quarterback and still draft a rookie. Like I said, it is a very team-friendly contract. And these rookie deals, even if you're drafting a guy number one overall, these deals are 4 years with the team option for a fifth year. And you're not paying them the Sam Bradford, Jamarcus Russell money that you were just 10 years ago. So it's a whole nother ballgame. And I think people need to look at this from multiple angles and see what the plan really is. Because if anything defines the process to me, you know, I laugh at that still to this day. But this gave me more faith that they're really covering their tracks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I think that this was part of their plan the entire time. I don't think that paying his team option necessarily means that they're committed to him. As you said, they're really just covering their bases here. Just like worst case scenario, they still have a guy. They can still go up and get their guy in the draft, and then they could trade Tyrod after that. Or as we've talked about, maybe Tyrod could be involved in a trade to get us into the top five or the top 10, maybe with the Browns or something. But I really don't think that this was a last minute decision. I think this was part of their plan all along. Just pick it up, and then we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, it definitely keeps their options open for, you know, you're not closing one door and then pushing yourself in a certain direction based on that initial decision. There will be tons of dominoes to fall. There will be a lot of things that play out over these next 6-8 weeks. So hang tight, folks. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, please, just deep breaths. Everything will be okay. The playoff drought ended, in case you haven't forgot. So Tyrod actually was playing in that playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. So
he did start it.
Hey, Peterman finished it, though. That's all that matters.
Oh, goodness. All right, so moving on. Kyle, what is the topic of tonight's podcast?
All right, so we reached out to our wonderful Twitter followers. We asked them to ask us some questions. Because the topic of this podcast was originally just going to be a Q&A, but then, as you said, Rob, the Tyrod stuff happened. But we'll get into the Q&A now. Our first question comes from Ryan Turnbull at Coach Bull NY. He asks, what Bills free agents do you think they keep, and who do you think goes?
All right, so let's talk about the big names, because if you go to Bills Wire and search Bills free agents, who should stay, who should go, that'll give you a rundown on all 18. But I think the big ones are guys like Preston Brown, EJ Gaines, Deontay Thompson, Kyle Williams. Who else am I missing?
Preston.
I said Preston.
Oh, well, then I'm wrong.
What about Mike Matthews. Tolbert or Cedric Thornton?
Yeah.
Mike Tolbert, Cedric all Thornton. Big. All big. So, Preston
rotational.
Brown. Preston Brown is going to be an interesting one, in my opinion. He did say on Sirius XM Radio that his agent had reached out to the team. Sean McDermott talked to him. It sounded like there was mutual interest. Now, I know from talking to someone close to Preston that he wants a contract similar to what Christian Kirksey of the Cleveland Browns got 2 years ago, which was 4 years, $38 million. On the surface, that sounds like a lot, but the way these contracts are structured, any deal is really a two-year deal today. It's all about the guaranteed money, so that's what it would come down to. But the way of a player that Preston is, I mean, yes, he led the NFL in tackles, which he'll be able to tout that in front of any GM. He's had 100 tackles in all of his 4 seasons. He's a good dude. You know, he's always on Twitter cracking jokes. Seems like a fun guy to be around. He's still young, entering the prime of his career. But for the Bills specifically, you saw times where there was speed that was needed, and it wasn't on the field unless Matt Milano was there. And that's sad, because Matt Milano was a 5th-round draft pick. And Preston Brown, he did lose a lot of weight to come into this season and really make himself the player that led the NFL in tackles. And while he is a solid player, he's played in just about every scheme that you could imagine in his 4 years since joining the team. Playing Will, Sam, Mike, inside linebacker, and Rex is 3-4. I just don't think that he's the ideal middle linebacker for Sean McDermott's defense. Is he the ideal middle linebacker for another defense? Absolutely. There's a spot for him in the NFL. I mean, he started every single game, and I don't see why he couldn't. But with the situation with the Bills' salary cap right now, the depth at the linebacker position, and really the types of linebackers that Sean McDermott has employed, dating back to his time with the Philadelphia Eagles, really, he just doesn't fit that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We've had several podcasts about this subject and several articles about this subject. So I encourage all of you to listen to those and then read those articles because they're all good. But I agree that Preston, it just isn't really a fit in this defense anymore. And it's unfortunate because he's a good player, but as you said, Rob, just not really that athletic mold that McDermott covets for a middle linebacker.
Definitely. And really, like, it's the price point, really, that comes down to me, because he's a player that you want to have. People say, oh, he's a two-down linebacker, he's a thumper, but you need to get through first and second down to get into third and long in those nickel packages. So there is a value for guys like that, but I think that McDermott, when you look at his defenses with Carolina, when they had Kuechly and Thomas Davis and Shaq Thompson, now Kuechly's a 245, 250 guy himself, but Preston is nowhere near the athlete that Luke Kuechly is.
Right.
So if we're talking about an athlete like that, it's not just weight, it's movement skills. And they're on different stratospheres there. But EJ Gaines, what are your thoughts on him, Justin?
I mean, I would be a huge fan if EJ Gaines came back. Obviously, he and Tre'Davious White create a formidable duo out at cornerback for us this year. For some reason, EJ Gaines, when he was on the field, the team won. I mean, I know record's not everything, but it's nice to see that when he was on the field, good things were happening with the secondary.
Well, Sharice Wright wasn't out there.
That is true. That is true. But I just think you have a cornerback who has the ability to possibly be like a 1B for somebody, and that's going to cost some money. And with the Bills' salary cap situation hovering just south of $30 million, I think looking at this draft class with cornerbacks, I think we might be able to find somebody on an entry-level contract who can do exactly what EJ Gaines does. And because of that, I think we're going to see him walk. His Instagram post kind of foreshadowed that idea.
And but Kyle, I think, wrote a post today. Tre'Davious White said, we have an open cornerback spot.
Oh,
and
yes.
He's lobbying for his LSU boy, Dante Jackson, the quote-unquote fastest cornerback in college football, and he wants to prove that by breaking the 40-yard dash record set by John Ross a year ago. Kyle, what do you think about that?
I'm a huge EJ Gaines fan, and Justin, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think you could just draft a guy who will who can do what Gaines does, because as you said, he was really a catalyst for the Bills, because the team, the secondary,
really?
Was I definitely think so.
Was it in baseball, wins above replacement or something?
Yeah,
you're looking at that over Sharice Wright, and I'm not even gonna say his name.
I mean, that's
Kevin will Kyle will log off. But I do like EJ Gaines. I do not think that he's going to command a contract over $6.5 million per year on average. And if he does, he's out of his mind and is better off taking a one-year prove-it deal. He hasn't played a full season in his career. So what leverage does he have to come in and say, I want $9-10 million when there's 5-6 corners that are better than you with better resumes and have put together full seasons?
Right. And I don't think he's going to necessarily do that. I don't think he's going to be asking for a $9 million a year contract. I don't think he's worth that, to be perfectly honest, but
you never know.
I mean, if that's what he wants, then sure, let Lafayette Pitts play, which would be ideal for me, but I don't necessarily think that he's going to be asking for a $9 million a year contract. I don't think he would want to prove a deal either. I think he maybe 2 to 3 years is what he wants. I don't I can't confirm that, but I think that would be a good contract length for him. And he would, you know, that he works in the secondary. The secondary was great with the Gaines.
And so they wanted him clearly by trading for him.
So if it's not fixed, why broke it? If it's not broke. Okay, you know what I was saying. You know what I was
just,
saying.
I just see some roof. I just see some team coming along, and we know that as soon as people come on free agency, these teams overpay for people. They look at the potential of Gaines, and all of a sudden, young guy. Maybe they, you know, a team can't land.
He's got that process stink to him.
Yep.
So you never know.
Exactly. Yeah, I just see teams spending foolishly, and I could see him getting $9 million from somebody.
Yeah, I think that's what he's looking for, and I don't see why he wouldn't. Being that age, if you're looking for a 4-year deal, which what I would assume, which would make him 30 when it's over, giving him a chance at one more probably mid-level contract before calling it quits, if he makes it that long. You know, it's hard because it is a business. So on the fan side of it, I could see where $2 or $3 million might completely turn you off to a player. But at the same time, I'm willing to pay that as long as the contract is structured right and you have proven it to me. You spent 1 year with the Bills after missing most of the previous year. You had one season, really. 1.5 seasons before coming to Buffalo of even playing time before you were much of anything, and that was opposite Tre'Davious White, who was one of the best corners in the NFL, let alone rookie cornerbacks, with two Pro Bowl caliber safeties behind you. So how much of that is credit to the system and how much of that is credit to him, we'll leave that to the coaches and general managers to decide that value. But you know, I think if for the right price point, if he's willing to really look at himself in the mirror and understand his value, then yeah, bring him back at say 4 years, 24 mil, and keep it moving. I'll say Jordan Matthews, which will be probably the most interesting one to follow, because this 2014 draft class of wide receivers going into this year looked like it was going to break records. Odell Beckham got hurt. Sammy Watkins didn't put up the numbers that he was expected to. He had the touchdown numbers. Jordan Matthews, who had 250 catches before coming to Buffalo, I think he finished with 22 or 24 before he got hurt, really hurt his value. And everyone knows the talent is there, but the time wasn't there for him to really get gel and get a rapport with the Bills offense. So I think that he's going to be a player that's very interesting to watch, because, and I think he's going to have to be a guy that's going to be like Alshon Jeffrey and take a 1-year deal, because he has no other choice. What are you going to sign for 3 to 5 years at a price point where you know you're better than? I think you play 1 year on a $4-5 million deal and come off of that and prove it and then get your big money next year.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's any way that he doesn't take a prove it deal this offseason. I don't necessarily think that's going to be with the Bills. And I wouldn't be heartbroken if he moved on.
They have too many of him anyway.
Yes. That's one of the biggest problems. They have Zay Jones, who's hopefully going to be our player that makes the biggest step forward this year, upcoming year in the slot, put him in a comfortable position. Jordan Matthews, unfortunately, we didn't get to see what he could do as a player due to the rash of injuries he had this year. But I think, in all likelihood, he's taking a 1-year prove-it deal somewhere else.
Yeah. Right. But this is just an interesting thought here. I wouldn't be opposed to giving him a 1-year, $4 or $5 million contract, just because if you are going to have a rookie quarterback next year, give him as many weapons as you can give him. Just give him the best chance to succeed. And if Matthews plays well, then he's got a good receiver. But if he's not getting him involved in the game plan, then move him for a pick. It's a win-win there.
Definitely. And thank you for the question. We will tweet out the link to that article after we release the podcast and you confirm that you heard it.
So up next, we have a question from James Rogers at Mr. Rogers underscore Rogers 456. And he asks about one of our favorites, Kyle Williams. And he says, if Kyle Williams doesn't come back or he comes back on a small cap hit, would you try and go after Dontari Poe or Rob's favorite star, Letulier? Oh, Jesus, I butchered that. I apologize.
Star Letulier. Rob,
there so, it is. Name.
Another one.
But Rob just wrote about it, so it's going to be awesome.
I've wrote about both of these guys in the past 2 days, so what's going on, guys?
I didn't read them, so tell me about it.
I would stay away from Star. I think I just don't – I mean, even with the connection to Carolina, I just – watching him this year – was just not. I mean, it would be like, are we getting?
I had to go back and watch three games of his this year just to make sure that I wasn't like saying some outlandish stuff based on the analytics that I was looking at on Star Letulier. Now, Letulier was a former first round pick by the Panthers. I believe it was 14th overall. And his rookie season, he looked to be an up and coming phenom. Someone who can get pressure and defend the run like a beast. I think he had 47 run stops and 33 pressures that rookie season. In his previous 3 years, he has accounted for 36 run stops and I believe something like 28 pressures. The number's on the article. It's called... you'll find that very recently on our Twitter account or on the homepage of BillsWire.com about why signing Star Letulier would be an epic mistake. Really, he isn't the player that people think. I know a lot of the casual fans can get caught up in names. They see them in the draft and then when they become free agents. And with the Madden and fantasy football world, that's fine. We're not calling you out or anything, but being writers that get paid to do this, we have to make sure that we're on top of this. And going back to look, this was a name that was so connected to the Bills all season long, knowing about Kyle Williams' potential retirement, that Star Letulier would be a name that was brought up. So I did my homework on him, and he went down. Kwon Short went up. The Panthers drafted Vernon Butler in the first round in 2016, and the Panthers are saying goodbye. So what does that tell you about Star Letulier?
Not good.
Basically that, no, goodbye, thank you. they still have Dwan Edwards as of last year. Remember him? Played for the Bills in 2010, 2011 as a rotational guy. They had him coming in to spell Star because he couldn't do it. Star's 28 right now.
Sounds so great.
Yeah, so I don't think that Kyle Williams will come back, unfortunately. I really hope that he does. But if you saw his face, I mean, just reading body language, I'm not a psychologist or anything, clearly. I read about sports in my apartment. But honestly, Kyle Williams is like literally – everyone's favorite Buffalo Bill. If throughout this time, he's been one of the few, him, Fred Jackson, guys like him and Stevie Johnson, and those guys have really been the heart and soul that have gotten us through that drought. And, you know, he finally made the playoffs. It wasn't the exit that he deserved or wanted. But at that age and that beating that he's taken for 12 years with this team, I can't see him coming back for one more year when there it's, in my opinion, it's still probably a year away, especially when you're looking at a new quarterback and more roster turnover. Obviously, he's a Buffalo Bill for life. He will be on the Wall of Fame. He'll be around the team as an ambassador, but I don't see him coming back. on Terry Poe, I wrote about him as the perfect value signing for the Bills at defensive tackle over Star Latulé, because for someone that's 6'3", 350 pounds, you'd kind of think he's your old-school two-gapping nose tackle. In fact, he's played over 3,400 snaps, which is nearly 80% of his defensive snaps since coming into the league out of Memphis in 2012. And not one zero or one technique defensive tackle is even close to that. He's reliable. He's a three-down player. He could get some pressure, and he is an incredible run stuffer. And that's what the Bills need. They need a dominant one technique and a penetrating three technique, which would be what Kyle Williams' role was in his prime, and what Marcell Dareus ideally would have been if he could have kept his head on his shoulders.
What contract do you offer him? Your branded bean. What do you think?
$5-6 million a year. You got to remember this. These sound like a lot, but the cap is $178 million now. So that's up $10 million just from a year or two ago. So you got to look at the percentage of the cap hit in relation to the total salary cap. Then that just the number now. You see the NBA players getting $200 million contracts, and that sounds ridiculous. But when you look at the deals that they're signing with TV and, oh, they don't deserve it, well, they're part of a collective bargaining agreement, and that's just how it is. So it may sound like a lot of money. It's not coming out of my pocket, and it's going to help the Bills win and keep them competitive now and for the future. Then I really don't care. As long as you're not making stupid decisions like Doug Whaley was, I have no problem paying Don Terry Poe $5-6 million to just eat four guards and maul a quarterback and a running back at the same time.
Pay that man, Brandon.
Right. I wouldn't be opposed to signing either of these guys. Latulele, I mean, if McDermott and Bean target him, they obviously liked him. They obviously like him. They worked with him. I know, as you said, that's kind of a weak connection to make, but it's a connection if they're confident in him and they feel that he's worth the money.
Ryan Nassib at 8?
Yes, exactly. Go for it. Just go for it. And I think it's important to note that the D-line talent in this draft is incredible. Vita Vea, Maurice Hurst, really either of those guys, if you keep one of your first round picks, you might be able to get one. Probably not Vea, but perhaps Hurst. And they're sign one of these guys.
Technique.
Right. Sign one of these guys, get Hurst. You're solid at defensive tackle.
Definitely now. My man Chipmail says, looking ahead to the combine, who are the sleepers at any position? Guys you expect to put their names on quote unquote the map after next weekend. Number one, Florida State, as much as it pains me, Florida State safety linebacker Derwin James. I think he is going to steal the show. He was injured last season, came back this year. He was supposed to be the heir apparent for Jalen Ramsey at safety. He came back, played safety, linebacker, slot corner, defensive end, linebacker, whatever you needed him to do, he was going to do it. He spent about 225. His reports, he has a 41-inch vert. He's doing 55-inch box jumps. He's running 4.41. I think he is going to be a guy that shoots up draft boards right now. And because of Florida State's down season, thank you, Alabama, that James is going to be a guy that really, really gets his name heard, and you're going to see his name in a lot of those mock drafts that we love reading and clicking on as soon as you wake up in the morning. Also, Ohio State linebacker Jerome Baker. We know these guys are getting smaller and smaller as more spread offenses and stuff like that are coming into the NFL, but Ohio State has this insane competition for speed at positions that shouldn't have speed like this. And Jerome Baker is an outside linebacker. He's 235, 237 pounds. He was clocked at 4.37 twice at junior workouts earlier in the before the season started. And he is going to steal the show. He's the next. I don't think he was as bad as Darren Lee was coming out. Excuse me. But he's going to be a guy that you're going to see his name just because of his 40 time. I don't think he's going to find himself in the first round, but he might go from a fourth or late third to a early third just because, you know, teams want speed at those positions. At tight end, Dallas Goedert, South Dakota State, he's the next. Him and Mike Gesicki out of Penn State, both of them are physical freaks in the Rob Gronkowski mode. But Goedert is fast and strong. He has a 36-inch vert that's been recorded, nearly 10-foot broad jump, and runs a 4.65. Averaged almost 7 yards after the catch per reception, according to Pro Football Focus. And then looking at running backs, something that the Bills will need to be looking at, is Kalen Ballage out of Arizona State. Now, this kid is 6'2", 227 pounds. His style really reminds me of Carlos Williams. Hopefully he doesn't get that big. But they were clocking him going 21.6 miles an hour with a 37-inch vertical and a 4.03 shuttle. And for those of you who have seen the 3-cone, that is insane. The last one is Cortland Sutton, the SMU wide receiver, 6'4", 215. Just a freak athlete, and who Albert Breer recently mocked to the Bills, citing his character as a reason why he is a McDermott guy. And he has a 10'5" broad jump. He's a former power forward with a 38-inch vert. So he'll be one to keep an eye on in terms of speed. But he's got the power and the explosiveness just on those jump numbers that definitely make you want to take a look.
Yeah, sounds good.
I like that list.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of these guys. Excited to at the combine. One guy that you brought up there, Kalen Ballage, that from how you describe him, he sounds very intriguing. Sounds like he could be a good complement to Shady as Carlos Williams was a few years ago.
Yeah, really just watching him, that stand up, that upright, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Style of running where he's just running through, hitting somebody and gone. It's really reminiscent.
Right, and they need a complement, so might as well go with one in a mold that they know works. Moving on to our next question here. This is from at Alan Plantone. He asks, with all the quarterback and defensive tackle buzz, what's the highest round you could see for a running back or tight end to help spell Shady and Clay? For me, probably third or fourth round, just because tight end and running back aren't major needs, and especially at running back, it's a fairly deep draft, so I don't see them going much higher than the fourth round if they go higher than the fourth round.
No, I agree completely. If somehow Goedert does fall into the third round, that would be great for us. Gesicki, I don't see him as a tight end falling into the third round, but I think we definitely have to wait a little while. We've got other holes that we need to fill. I mean, Nick O'Leary is serviceable, I guess, to be behind Clay at the very least. Logan Thomas, maybe another summer we'll get him a little more time playing, so hopefully they can fill some other holes before diving into that tight end running back deal. Running back is deep. I mean, we might be able to get a day three running back who can be insanely productive for us this upcoming season.
I'm going to go second round for running back. I think that if you look at the Bills and what they're trying to do and the NFL as a whole and LeSean McCoy and the situation as a whole, the Bills really need to find a complement to LeSean McCoy, not only in case he gets hurt, but to keep him fresh. There's so many talented backs, and like you said, it's deep, but there is something to be said for a guy like Sony Michel or Ronald Jones or Kalen Ballage as there is for a Bo Scarborough or a Mark Walton. And I think that if the Bills want to get that quarterback, they're going to want to make sure that they have as least pressure on him as possible, as early as possible. And having LeSean McCoy as the focal point of the offense, we talked about this in the last podcast. When he went down, the air was sucked out of Buffalo. If he was slow to get up or limping, it was, what do you do? Because Mike Tolbert's going in. And now certainly you could say that one of these day three guys is easily come in and replicate, if not improve on what Tolbert did. But I think finding a back and grooming him to take over for McCoy after next year would be the ideal way to go. Because look at the way the running back position is, and look at the teams in the playoffs. They won because of strong running games. You see defenses getting smaller, offenses are zagging, and they're beefing up their offensive lines and bringing in those tight ends and punching you in the mouth with the running game. And I think that's what the Bills want to do, especially Brian Daboll coming from Alabama. I could see them very, very easily going with a running back a lot higher than people think.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially if they fall in love with a guy.
I wouldn't be opposed. I wouldn't be all supportive. Like, yeah, they need to take a running back in the second round. But if they did, I would fully understand the thought process behind that.
Right, exactly. I agree with you there.
So, big Bills fan, 1965.
AFL
I believe
days.
The Bills should move up for their franchise quarterback. What are your thoughts of Bills Wire? I think we could all answer that at once and say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Chosen Rosen.
Next question.
All right, so next up we have David G at 1Buffalo87. Solid season for the Bills that year. I believe they went 7-8. After the obvious quarterback is acquired, what's the main priority for this team? Holy cow, this team has some holes. And hopefully... So we're taking out quarterback from this equation from our Twitter person here. I'm going to jump on the defensive line right now. I just feel like that is by far the biggest hole on this team. I mean, wide receivers produced at historically putrid levels this year, at points this year. But just if we're going to run with our defense being the strength of the team, interior defensive line to help create some havoc is probably going to be the next choice that I would definitely put an emphasis on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think even with quarterback considered, I think probably front seven is a bigger need than quarterback, just because the defensive line was bad last year and the linebacker core wasn't all that great either, especially in the beginning part of the season. So definitely they need to beef up the defensive line in free agency and the draft. They really need to get better there.
Yeah, like Kyle said, really the front seven as a whole, best player available, whether that's defensive tackle, pass rusher, or linebacker, those were three weak links that 2 years ago, those were all strengths of this team, which is scary considering when you look at Matt Milano, Tanner Vallejo, Adolphus Washington, Ricky Hatley, Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson, and Eddie Yarbrough, and Ryan Davis being those guys now. Those are all serviceable players. I like Matt Milano. Jerry Hughes is getting up there, though. Yarbrough is a lovable guy. But they need to get back to what they do well. And at linebacker, they need speed and physicality. And then they need that defensive line to just be a bully. I don't want to go Rex Ryan here, but they really do. It was pathetic watching Adolphus Washington and Cedric Thornton. Like, none of them knew what they were doing. And then you have Ramon Humber and Preston Brown. Like, both of them should be playing the same position. You have one playing Will, which is a run and chase position, at 31 years old in the second season that he's ever played meaningful snaps. I didn't understand that until Milano took his job, thankfully. And that's something that is really understated, because today you play with two linebackers. You could be a 4-3 defense, but you're really a 4-2-5. So you're playing with two guys that need to cover a lot of ground, need to be physical, and need to be instinctive. And the Bills did not have that last year. But on the other hand, you need your defensive line to pressure the quarterback, to not give them the time to just pick you apart with those 5-7 yard passes and just march down the field on you, which is what we saw way too often last season.
Yeah, there are two moments from, I mean, I just have this vision of Jerry Hughes just running past a quarterback over and over and over again. And for a guy that we thought was going to just devour quarterbacks this year, it just didn't happen. And then the New Orleans game, just that vision of New Orleans running 23, 24 times in a row as the game's way out of hand, but we can't even tackle somebody. And, you know, you're watching Kamara.
They're trying to
Ingram.
Run out the clock, and they can't.
Yeah, they're trying to run out the clock, and they, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Ingram just, like, fell on the ground once, and I don't know, like, two-hand touched it so that he could keep the clock running that game. That was, like, the breaking point for me, where it was like, I just think we need to go full force in making this front four much stronger, and we need to do anything necessary, because it there was a lot of yelling at,
like,
the TV during
the
those games.
Good stories, to be honest. Eddie Yarbrough, he was the feel good story, and he was the good story last year. Kyle Williams, like, I love the guy, but he was his time. Like, if he comes back next year, he's taking snaps away from someone who's playing in the future. So that's how I look at it.
And I have no problem with these guys rotating in, like bringing in Yarbrough or bringing in Davis. It's just when you're expecting Shaq Lawson and Jerry Hughes to be your primary pass rusher, and they're topping out at 4 sacks.
But those are the guys you invested. Those are the guy you invested in to be those guys, and it's not happening. And now Hughes is 30.
Yeah.
And it's not working. Lawson's a first-round pick from 2 years ago, and he's not doing anything.
Nope.
And then you have now Adolphus Washington and Ricky Hatley. That's going to go well. So, I mean, there's a long way to go.
Draft.
It sounds like the world is crashing in right now, but you got to remember teams aren't even allowed to negotiate with their free agents. So, it sounds a lot worse than it is, but Oh, we have one question that was for Kyle from Bills Fan 1 at Adam Creary 2. When he saw our article on Tyrod being paid $6 million, he said, "I thought Bean cared. Obviously, I was wrong." Kyle, what do you say to that?
It goes back to what we said earlier about how this probably just means that Bean's getting traded. And by the looks of this tweet, or did I say Bean's getting traded?
You said Bean.
Bean's gone for a first. No, but looks like Taylor's probably getting traded. And by the looks of this tweet, it looks as though Bills fan won. I don't think he likes Tyrod, but I mean, then
I
raise
like
this.
Tyrod throw 5.5 picks?
Right, and if Tyrod's probably going to get traded, why isn't Bean thinking about me? I thought he cared about me.
Yeah,
I guess not.
I think Brandon Bean loves you dearly, Adam Curley. He's thinking about you now and in the future. So this is what you need to learn as part of the process, and you know we're all a part of it. You know, when we took this job as Bills bloggers, and they took those jobs as Bills executives, we all own this together. This drought, it came to an end. It was because of us, all right? So just hang in there, buddy. We're with you.
Bean is all business.
And just follow Bill's Wire. If you need a vent, we're here to we're your shoulder to lean on. We have articles, 6-7 of them a day, that you could read about everything and get your mind off of Tyrod Taylor getting a nice fat paycheck in his account March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. It's going to be a fun St. Patrick's Day for Tyrod.
But, boy.
That's our next article. What will Tyrod Taylor use his signing bonus for.
But Shamrock Shake. No, in all seriousness, this was awesome, the response that we got in such a fast time. Like, we literally put this tweet out. There was probably 10, 11 more tweets that we didn't think we'd be able to get through, and we're running on an hour now, so we wouldn't be able to. But just the fact that you guys are engaging with us and really reading our stuff, except for the first two people who didn't read our free agent and Star Latulele. We'll give you a pass on that this time. But that just makes us want to keep writing, keep engaging with you guys, and keep putting out awesome content and these podcasts and doing what we're doing. So, again, I'm Rob Quinn, managing editor of BillsWire.com. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. Kyle, where can they find you?
On Twitter at Kyle Salagi.
And Justin?
You can find me on Twitter at Jay DeLauro.
All right, and like I said earlier, I'll repeat it for you guys again. Make sure that you connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Bills Wire. Subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast at The Bills Wire Podcast. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review. Unsubscribe, subscribe again, leave another 5-star review. We love you guys. Go Bills. We're going to have some awesome stuff coming up for you in the off-season, free agency previews, draft previews, combine recaps and analysis, night and day. We're going to bring you the best content that there is in the Bills Mafia Nation. So just keep following and go Bills.